The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Angry girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to my brother, me, and advice show from the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy, hut hut.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis McElroy. Huddle, 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 huddle.
Hey, this is Gridiron Field Golden McElroy.
Yeah, that was perfect. That was seamless.
Thanks a lot. Thank you very much.
The football reference
You know what they don't tell you? A lot of time when the footballmen are like in that big circle, they're just saying huddle, 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 huddle. Because they don't know what to say. They don't know what to do most of the time.
A lot of the time they're not even coming up with freaking plans. They just wanted a snug. Nope. They wanted a quick snug. They wanted to get snug as a bug because they've just been hit so many times.
Yeah, they're just trying to be, you know what they should do? They should make that circle but turn their backs inward and look out so they can all be looking out at the same time so no one sneaks up and tackles.
Oh, or listens in on their big plans.
Yeah. Hey, it's fantasy football time.
Just anything, man. Football, don't really give a shit, but I'll look at it. I'll look right at it for a while, if that helps.
Listen, I don't want to jump back to this, but it's just occurred to me, I should be able to watch football in 4DX.
Yep, you should.
Oh, that's a good point.
I want to feel what it's like to get just a human being thrown at me.
I like the idea of a 4DX theater where there's a guy controlling all of it live, like an old organist at silent movies from the 30s.
We can't go back to talking about 4DX.
We cannot do that.
No, but
fantasy football season is here.
What if when they dumped the Powerade over the football coach and they dumped Powerade
on you?
Spray
it on your face. Yes. Okay, Justin. Yes. Take away. Go. This is your bit. I'm so sorry. This is Justin's bit and his idea. It's your time to shine, baby.
I didn't suggest it, but it's a football of a time here. My brother, and me, and we're ready to run it to the red line and talk about our fantasy football strategies. Mm-hmm. This episode is going to be exclusively fantasy football.
Yes,
some picks, hot picks for the best kickers, mainly kicker focused because that's the differentiator. Everybody knows you want a good QB in there. Mm-hmm. You want a good RB, but what about the K? You know what I mean? I'm saying a little special K in there.
My recommendation, and listen, this is a bit of a sleeper pick, right? But I'm saying Steve Bigfoot Jones because he's got that big old foot.
Right. Yeah. He cannot miss. He cannot miss the football.
Yes. His foot is 19 inches long. And he basically can just lift up the ball with his foot and just kind of drop it end zone.
I want to share my fantasy football strategy for the year. I'm employing for Touch Downton Abbey the same strategy that I've been employing since that name was funny. And that is this.
Uh-huh.
This is a league our dad runs. I don't have the login for my account.
Same.
Okay. I don't know how to update it. Now, is this negligent? No. Why? Well, I feel like the computer probably did a better job of drafting than I would. It is so presumptuous to me, this idea that I'm going to get in there and do a better job than a football robot.
Right.
That seems
fair.
Absolutely insane to me.
Mine and Justin's approach is the same. I don't even think I have that account anymore, but somehow I'm still robo drafting all my guys. So we've essentially ripped the Beyblades out of our Beyblade guns, and now for a whole season they're going to spin and dance around each other, and we're going to see who the last one spinning is. Probably mine.
When it comes to trades, our teams are going to play hardball. What does that mean?
Okay, so I'm looking at last season's standings.
Yes,
in
please.
In the league. It is a 10-team league. Now, Griffin,
finished
ninth.
That's bad.
With 2-12.
That's not great, but there was somebody below me, which is great.
And that would be Justin with 1 in 13.
Oh, dang. I bet one of those W's was Griffin, right?
Most likely, yeah.
Most likely, we only beat each other.
All right, mm-hmm. Well.
It's I should change my team name to Bye Week, because that's basically what you have if you're playing me
as a
week off.
Now, I will say back in 2017, Justin finished 7th and Griffin finished 9th. Justin beat many people in 2017.
Wow. But that's like a control group.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is baseline of football, and then you can do better than this. If you do better than this, you get a win. But there's like, that's just the baseline of football trends that mm-hmm. year. The predictability of football is what that was sort of ranking. The problem that I have is deaths. If there are any deaths on my team, uh-huh. the computer cannot account for it.
Right.
When players are, as they are frequently, killed
exploded.
On the field of play,
yeah.
exploded.
From having full-grown people thrown at them.
Right.
A member of the Mutant League comes in and blows them up with a hand grenade, whatever the cause. The computer does not redraft dead players, and that's a problem that I had, because I would love it to fill the gaps, you know what I mean? But no dice.
And that's why I made a mistake when the last time I played, I drafted Brian Brittlebones. The dog ruined it! The dog ruined my joke!
The dog ruined Griffin's football joke.
Tell the dog it ruined my football joke.
Lily, you ruined Griffin's joke. Back to
I made a good football joke and the dog ruined it.
You made a good football joke and you ruined it, dog.
Send it to the glue factory.
Okay. Back to their jobs at the glue factory. My problem in fantasy football is one of my players will
it's
get
your dogs.
The
it's
dogs
your
dogs still
ruining
dogs.
Our podcast.
Travis, no football jokes will be made while the dogs
okay,
are
wait,
going.
Hold on.
Justin, real quick, while he's doing that, let's tell some good football jokes.
Okay, they could have changed the rules to make
Sorry
points different,
that,
and I still wouldn't affect my play.
Yeah,
and I'm so disconnected from the world of football. It's gonna be another. What I can't leave is the text chain about football. So I'm getting a lot of updates about the draft, about people's unawareness of the draft, mm-hmm. about people missing the draft, a lot of guilt trips from my dad about people not giving it their all. It should be known, Griffin and I are not negligent here. We have begged, to be freed from this football league
yes.
that we cannot keep up with. Begged.
Our father, our papa, will not let Touchdown and Abbey and Gridiron and Wine die.
I've told him, like, I haven't watched a football game save the Super Bowl for like 2.5 years, like recreationally. I'm not up on it. I'm not up on it. I tried to draft the old QB for the Dolphins. I ended up drafting Ken Marino from Party Down and Burning Love.
He did a good job, though.
And Veronica Mars, he did a good job considering he didn't play any games. But shit, man, let me go. Let me free.
This is not, by the way, the sort of like sports ball, blah, blah, blah. Like, the idea that I would be able to predict with literally any accuracy on my own, predict how a football team would perform in a given outing is just beyond comprehension at this point in my life. I have 2 kids. I have a lot of kids.
You can lose one. I was just thinking about this. You can lose points in fantasy if you're a player for like fumbles and like stuff like that. So I'm willing to bet somewhere out there is a professional football player who ended a season with negative points, meaning I did better in fantasy football than they did.
Interesting.
Yeah. My stats, my fantasy football stats are better than theirs.
You got to get Travis. He's not going to bring you down.
Nope. That's my promise to you. You'll end it with exactly the same amount of points you had if you'd left the slot open. That's the Travis McElroy promise. Just write me in. They'll recognize it. Let me be a write-in candidate for your fantasy football game.
Please, let's do some show.
I'd love to. This has been show. This is all part of the program.
Let's do more show then.
Ooh. My father will not stop making his own. Oh, I don't want to do this. Hold on. How do people say you should pronounce this word now?
GIFs.
Ooh. GIFs.
Okay.
My father will not stop making his own GIFs. After discovering how the App Store works, he downloaded some GIF-making apps and used them in incredibly inappropriate areas, such as work group chats and emails. If they are not good or funny GIFs, and they are never good quality videos. He keeps trying to get me to download and use these apps, and he's even thinking about getting one that costs actual money. Brothers, how do I stop my father? That's from GIF Gulagged in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
You gotta stop my dad from using these GIFs.
Yeah, this is, you've made me worried that our dad is going to figure this out. You've like spread some sort of viral curse.
This is what I love about, can I tell you what I love about your dad, question asker?
Let me tell you what I love about this person's dad.
Let me tell you.
Hey, Travis, will you tell me what you love about their dad?
Let me tell you what I love about your dad.
He's thick. Dummy thick.
I love his dumps like a truck. Is that your dad could just use GIFs, but instead, your dad said, I'm going to learn how to make my own. And it's that kind of can-do attitude that's missing from the world today. Are they good? No. But Bill Gates, his first GIFs were bad too. When Steve Apple started making his GIFs, they were bad. Right? But you practice your GIFs, and now you're making a PlayStation.
Now, why Travis was talking, Driffin has been sending us some of his own GIFs, three of the minions so far. Which one of those little bastards is holding a banana and saying banana? Mm-hmm. One in a maid costume.
Oh, yes.
One scan, it's just photocopying his butt cheeks. Thank you. And now two of Crash Bandicoot doing different things. I don't want to receive any more if I could. Yoda. Okay. Okay. We got Yoda.
Now there's a Yoda. That Yoda one's pretty good. Oh, okay. Now here we have Samwise Gamgee saying potatoes.
Okay. Good. Another good gif. Mm-hmm. Another good gift from Driffin.
You got to take the phone away. You got to throw it in some hot water, boiling water, because if it's regular water, he might dive his hand in there to try and grab it out. The boiling water is really going to be a nice scare tactic.
Now, Griffin, you have sent us one here of a minion's ass.
Can you guys just please focus on the fucking show?
Yeah, but like, I can see his whole asshole.
Yeah, I'm closing this app. I don't need any more updates. I got my hair cut today. My barber said he just announced, apropos of nothing, well, looks like I'm finally going to get me one of those smartphones.
Ooh.
It's like, go on, do tell. And apparently his son got it for him. And after spending a long time teaching him how to use it, he asked a week later, he said, I don't think this thing's working. I haven't got any calls for it. And he was informed that he had to charge it to keep it working.
Ah, beans.
Oh, wow.
Ah, beans. I said, so you're not a big technology fan. He said, no, I don't. I tell people I don't like to have anything smarter in my house than I am. And I'm down to just the toaster, and even that's borderline.
That's pretty good. That's a good line.
It's a good line, man. It's a good haircut. Okay haircut, but a good line. Okay. An affordable haircut. GIFs are tough, because once you learn how to use them, plain text just doesn't cut it anymore.
Right.
Well, that's the thing, right? And then you start, like, you're like, I want to find one. Somebody, like, giving a thumbs up. And you're like, oh, no, there's a bajillion of them. And what if I pick the wrong one and all the other kids laugh at me? The answer, in case you're wondering, is there's one where Fred Savage, and I believe Wonder Years, gives a really slow, dramatic thumbs up. It's one of my favorite gifts.
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, but we've spent a while now talking about GIFs, which is maybe the most base, low form of comedy that exists.
Here he goes.
Yeah, so like, we got to step
my wife.
It up. Yep, never mind. Anyway, the kids are going to figure out something else next, and then we're going to be doing GIFs, and they're going to be off doing the next thing. We need to skip forward a few generations here, and mm-hmm. we need to start texting each other full feature-length films. Whenever we have something that we want to say to another person,
mm-hmm.
and I'm talking, and it's like, hey, what do you think about we go out and we get some, we get some burgers down at Shake Shack today, and then maybe we go to the arcade. How does that sound? And then I send them Driving Miss Daisy, the entire movie.
Just extremely okay, good.
I guess I thought you were going to go more like, and you send them the entire movie of like, yes, man, to symbolize that you were saying, yes, man. But you instead are saying, how about instead, you watch all of Driving Miss Daisy?
Yeah. And then, you know, the next day I'll be like, what the fuck, man? You didn't pick me up. We were supposed to go out for burgers. You didn't watch the entire movie? Because then you'd understand the point of what I was trying to get across to you.
You have to pick me up and drive me to burgers. You need to pick me up and
drive me to go get burgers. Jesus.
I was trying to tell you my car's in the shop and I need a ride.
Obviously. Don't tell me you don't understand full-length feature films.
Hey, you sent me the full-length feature film of Clueless? Yeah, man, I want to go do an escape room. Isn't that? I thought that was obvious.
Hey, I know this is cowardly to do over text, but I just feel like we've been drifting apart lately, and I know that you feel the same way, too, and I think pride is stopping us from realizing what we actually need to do here, so I think it would probably be good if we split up. Here's the animated movie Megamind, and I feel like when you watch Megamind, it's going to be like the closure that you need.
Mm-hmm.
Justin's just answered back all of my great texts with the entire movie Three Ninjas that he found on YouTube.
That's also kind of a PSA to you that, like, you can watch all Three Ninjas on YouTube if you want.
Man, every movie released before the year 2004 looks like such dog shit.
Are you just watching the film Three Ninjas right now? Is that how you're spending our podcast time?
You sent me Three Ninjas, Justin.
Yeah, what are we supposed to do? Not respond? Okay, it's loading. It's playing now. Okay, some treat. All right. Uh-huh. Still haven't... wait, Justin, are we the Three Ninjas?
This is poison. This is poison. This is poison. I sent Three Ninjas because we're the Three Ninjas that are beating our careers to death with this audio poison you're making right now.
All right, I guess I'll respond later.
How about a Yahoo?
Yes, thank you.
This is a very good Yahoo. I'm very excited. Lots of people sent it in. Thank you all so much. It's from Yahoo Answers user. Sorry, something's gone wrong. Let me get a refresh in here. Oh, it worked. Tina asks, what should I wear to a cave?
Oh, good question.
I'm going to a cave and am wondering if there is proper attire. Like, should I wear sports clothes or just normal?
Whoa, what kind of cave? Are we talking about a cool cave? Are we talking about scary cave, big cave, small cave, dirty cave, clean cave, maybe a cave that has like a pop-up store in it, maybe a cave rave?
I've never been inside a cave where I wasn't like, hey, this is pretty scary. Hey, being in this sepulcher is a little bit scary.
I've watched a lot of Planet Earth, so I would also say look out for things that have... like they've lost their eyes and have turned into tiny demons that live in the cave and will consume the flesh off your bones.
They need the flesh. They need that flesh. You are bringing something that they really, really like into their house. Yes. So like think about that. So armor, I guess, to cover all that good skin you have.
Yeah, cover the flesh.
Cover the flesh.
We should have, there should be a thing on Planet Earth that is like, at the bottom of the screen text that's like, you'll never fuck with one of these.
Yeah. Don't even
like, it should be a thing at the bottom where it's like, I'm watching it, I'm loving it, I'm starting to get freaked out.
Yes.
And then the text pops up as like, don't even trip on this. You'll never fuck
There's
with
like
one of
eight
these
of
things.
These. Don't worry.
There's like
it.
Eight of these things. We can't believe we saw one. You'll never fuck with this. Do not even worry about it.
I know we filmed it real close. It looked real big. In real life, real tiny. Don't even sweat.
What we need is like before the deep, deep, deep sea monster episode, we need like Julia Roberts to come out for like 5 minutes and be like, hi, Justin. Listen. Hey. I need you.
It's me.
I know. Some of these guys are pretty spooky. They have weird lanterns on their head and sharp, sharp needle teeth. And you can see through their bodies and there's electricity in there for some reason. And also they don't have any organs. That's some scary shit. I know. But you're not going to have to mess with one of these. You're not even going to see one of these in an aquarium, Justin. So it's fine.
This is it. You and know listen, what? Just Justin, pretend. If they come for you, I'll be there.
Justin, these are basically pretend.
And you know what, Justin? You can just skip this episode. Spend the time that you're going to spend watching this episode and go watch something else on Amazon. Go give Fullmetal Alchemist a try. That's right. I'm a big anime nut.
Julia Roberts.
So Julia Roberts is going to have me watch. I'm on Amazon and Julia Roberts is not staring me towards Homecoming.
Well, she knows you've already watched it. She watched you watch it through the TV. Instead, she's going to say, skip this planet Earth, skip the deep ocean. Go watch that one about lemurs.
Go watch the lemur ones again,
they
Justin.
They like
remember?
To move it.
If I was going to a cave today at 4 o'clock and it's 2:38 right now, and as soon as we hang up, I gotta go get dressed real quick, hop in the whip and get to the cave. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the fuck I'm gonna put on my body. Jeans?
Your oldest jeans. Don't put oldest on some jeans. New jeans.
Old okay. jeans.
Old jeans.
I have old jeans. Do I wanna is it hot in there? Is it cold in there?
Well, it's gonna fluctuate, Griffin.
Is it
the deeper
wet?
You go, you're going to hit a period of cold, but then you're going to get close to the middle of the Earth, where it's all lava down there.
So I need something that goes day to night.
Yes,
mantle,
and then
crust,
back.
Something that goes crust to mantle.
Exactly. And okay. then you're going to see, oh, who's that? It's Brandon Fraser. He's heading
Brandon's
to the center
down there.
Too.
He's always down there, and that's a great hang. And
oh, and what's he got on? A neckerchief. Have you thought about a neckerchief, Griffin, to collect all your neck sweat?
He gives me one of his enchanted spears, just in case the demons come back.
Exactly. They will, Griffin.
And we fight them together.
Why can't you guys just answer one question?
What do you wear in a cave? A cave suit.
Just what do you wear? A cave suit. Mm-hmm. Thank you. A Green Bay Packers jersey, if you like them.
Yes. maybe something... Something that a glowing shirt,
obviously, except you're messing up the cave experience for everyone.
No, that
else.
Is true. That did happen. I one time went on a youth group trip to a cave, to Carter Caves in West Virginia, and they had a moment where they were taking you on a tour where there was a tour guide, and they said, we're going to turn off all of these man-made lights so you can see how dark it really is in here. And they turn it off. And like three different people had on glow-in-the-dark shirts, and the effect was ruined. Yeah. It's like suddenly there's a cool Skeletor over there.
Cave's an interesting thing for anxiety. If you're somebody who lives with anxiety, I've done a little spelunking in my day from time to time. And what I have found is that I remember the first time I got fairly deep into a cave, I had the thought like, man, my anxiety is really good in here. Because like, the number of things that could kill me has been drastically reduced
to one big one, which is the cave.
Well, that's the thing, right? the probability wheel has been thinned to a razor's edge, but that razor's edge is terribly real. I have escalated the chance that I will die by something, but I have like very much narrowed.
Yeah.
The number of things that could be.
Right. Sure. You don't have to worry about car accidents in the cave, right? That's
gone.
You just
have to, yeah. So problem with, I'm always saying this. It's a problem with the cave is when you're in the cave, you're extremely inside the cave. And yes. There's just no way around it. Can you wear a big shirt that has a cool logo on the front of it? And maybe we can like... you know, tinker this up in the old lab, but a big shirt that says bear poison on it.
Ooh,
I like that.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
What about, I've just picked up this from Griffin, you saying you're extremely in the cave. What about some kind of harness, right? That is very bungee-esque, but the bungee is very loose until I hit a button and then it just whoop, gets me right out of the cave. As quickly, like I'm walking through the cave. Maybe I'm like 200 yards into the cave. I've gone through a lot of narrow passages. There's been a lot of blowhead. Oh, and what's that? A bear. Hit the button. Rip, and I'm out of the cave in like 3 seconds.
Or a bear-like noise,
yes.
Which could be anything.
Yes.
If our dad takes too deep a sigh.
Or it could be the Balrog, you know?
Could be the Balrog.
What about a very fucking funny Big Johnson hoodie?
Oh.
Because then, if you die in the cave and
then you die in real
skeleton,
life.
If you die in the cave, you do die in real life. And if somebody finds your skeleton, they're going to see that hoodie and be like, oh, nice.
Really?
That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
And then when Gollum sees your shirt, he's just really impaled.
Okay, Trav, how many fucking fantasy creatures live in the cave, Trav?
The Balrog and the Gollum. I think they're in that same cave. And the ghosts.
Is Godzilla down there?
Do you guys want to hear some slogans from Big Johnson t-shirts?
Do I? Only cave-related ones, please.
Yeah, make them cavey.
Okay, let me see if there's any Big Johnson cave t-shirts.
Big Johnson spelunk deep.
You always go deep in the hole when you got a Big Johnson.
I just liked when the Big Johnson shirts got less and less entendre and more blatant. Like, with Big Johnson, you got a big penis.
Yeah.
The arc is like the Big Johnson fishing shirt is, it's easy to reel him in when you've got a Big Johnson. Okay. The beer pong one is, you always get your balls wet when you whip out a Big Johnson.
Oh, now, wait. Boy. Why would I want you? That? Who's like, for whom, maybe that happens during whatever you do in the lovemaking act, but for whom is that the fulcrum upon which your sexual desire rests? Oh, man, I just got to get these balls wet.
There's also nothing, there is no correlation in beer pong that relates to any kind of big anything element.
Yeah.
Like, what is the Johnson supposed to represent there? Except unless you're saying, while playing beer pong, get your genitals out and put them on the table.
You know what I like is Big Johnson, and it'll have you in a cave, and it'll be very hardy boys, and underneath it'll say, I stalagmite have a Big Johnson.
That's pretty good.
And that one leaves some room for...
It introduces the question.
Because now it's
a little mystery, some suspense.
And they say that that's good. Like, if you're trying to meet people, you got a conversation started. They come up to you, and they say, what the fuck's wrong with your shirt?
But
why the fuck are you wearing that?
You want a mysterious, confusing shirt.
Did they ever have like an Ouroboros Big Johnson shirt that was like a giant penis wearing a Big Johnson shirt that said you might like you always have a Big Johnson when you have a Big Johnson? And then it just kind of was a stink eating its own tail. It was just Johnson eating its own Johnson.
I want them to be more confusing and challenging. I want one of the giant from Twin Peaks that says that Big Johnson you like is going to come back into style. That's what I want. I want them to be real thinkers. You know what I mean?
Here's
like
what I'm looking
maybe
at.
A shot of like people boarding a plane and it says like now boarding zone Big Johnson. And you're like, wait, why isn't that first? Wait, what zone is Big Johnson? And is Big Johnson is the last zone.
I'm reading one right now that says, Big Johnson Landscaping, call us when it's time to trim a little bush. Now, let's dive in. Let's dive in to what you mean there. Are you like, I would love to edge up, shape, and manage some pubic hairs?
With my genitals.
I guess.
They're still available on Amazon, by the way. Fully, you could just get them. Just buy them legally for sale, Big Johnson t-shirts for legal sale on Amazon.
I'm always so happy to be reminded of Big Johnson t-shirts just so I can think about Big Dog t-shirts as being the tasteful option.
Tasteful, mm-hmm. Yes. Those are just for big people. It's fine.
How well do you think Big Johnson t-shirts are selling these days?
I mean, they're still on Amazon, so not great because... I can't imagine they're also manufacturing them, right? They can't still be making them.
I mean, here's another beer pong one that says whip out your balls and let's get foamy. What could you possibly mean?
No, that's for when you go to the doctor after getting your balls wet at the first game, and now you're at the doctor like, it's foamy.
Now it's foam and I don't know.
It's all kinds of confusing, Doc. You have to help me.
So the Big Johnson boat one. There's a Big Johnson boat one. And I just want it. This will be the last Big Johnson t-shirt we talk about.
But I doubt that is factually true.
That's
for the rest
probably
of
not
time.
True. Okay. It's okay. It says Big Johnson party on my deck. But there's a man standing in front of this, the E, with a little beach ball above his head, who is sort of manufacturing
party on
an
my
eye.
Party on my dick?
It is one that is a real stretch. You've abandoned wordplay at this point to like rebuses.
It's
so that's
wild.
Not great.
It's really wild.
There's someone on the t-shirt that also has a huge Confederate flag.
Ooh.
Which is like, why do we have to bring racism?
Ooh, no, Big Johnson.
Why can't I just enjoy my huge chunks? Why can't I just brag about the size of my genitalia? I don't understand why it has to be a racist thing as well. Big Johnson shirts are still out there.
This could be the whole show, man. I just found one where it's like a guy, it's the guy, and he's carrying an umbrella on a beach, and it says, and there's a woman right beneath him, and it says, Big Johnson's Beach Service, we bury that pole where the sun don't shine. Oh, do you mean you're going to put that umbrella in that poor woman's butt? What are you talking about?
Oh, no.
All right, last one. Listen, it's 2019, folks. 2019, the year of our Lord, 2019, you can spend $21.95 of your own good money and get a Big Johnson Bait Shack t-shirt off of Amazon. It says, Big Johnson Bait Shack. You'll catch a beauty when wiggling a Big Johnson. I'm not sure. I'm not sure that I'm gonna lure in the love of my life by wiggling my Big Johnson around. That is a specific kind of person.
Yeah.
Easy. It's easy.
This is also upsetting.
I'm not gonna talk about Big Johnson stuff anymore, but it is.
Okay, I just found the most specific one I've ever seen.
Okay, good, because I got another one over there.
This is for Johnson deep socket wrenches.
Okay, this is the same one I was looking at. Thank you.
You'll always get a big nut off when you've got a Big Johnson.
That's okay. Now I want to twist it for you with this same one. I have Big Johnson extra deep socket wrenches.
Oh, okay.
And it says you'll get your nuts off faster when you're cranking with a Big Johnson. What are you bragging about? I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense. The pun is flimsy at best, but like I don't even know what we're insinuating at this point.
Oh, my God. Well, hold on, because that contradicts the one I just found that says Big Johnson pizza delivery guaranteed to come in 30 minutes or more. So which one is it? Are you taking over a half an hour to come? Or do you get your nuts off faster with a Big Johnson?
Mine specifically says when you're cranking it with a Big Johnson.
Okay.
Which says to me, the nice thing about this one is you can masturbate very quickly and then get on with your day. You've got other great things to do.
Now, I found one here. It's Johnson Bungee Courts, where it appears that the man in question has tied his Big Johnson to the bridge. And then it says, well, there's certain things you shouldn't do, even with a Big Johnson, which I like. I was like, hey, let's draw the line. Don't use your penis as a bungee cord.
Or do. If you're thinking about buying this shirt, just go ahead and do that. Can we go to the fucking money zone?
Yeah, let's go.
Our first sponsor this week is Big Johnson t-shirt.
Nope.
This is a sponsored ad. A sponsored episode.
Big Johnson sponsored this sponsorship from Squarespace. I don't know how that worked, but
Big Johnson is not involved with this. This is Squarespace, though, rather than tell you about Squarespace, you know Squarespace. It's a place where you can build a website to showcase your work, blog or publish content, sell products and services of all kinds and more. Instead of that, just telling you how great Squarespace is, I want to encourage you to go after the website of your dreams. Don't you want to be the next, The Onion? You know what I mean? Or the next Google, the next, what are some other
websites?
One more big one.
So you could be the next Surfer Girl Reviews Star Wars, if you remember that one. That's a blog. You could make your own website is what I'm saying to you. And you really should think about it. There's a lot of websites out there, but none like exactly like yours. And Squarespace is going to help you make your own website. Just a site to keep all your stuff, maybe, to keep it in line. To have a site where people can go to just learn about you. You know, it doesn't always have to be Facebook, blah, blah, blah. They got a lot of beautiful, customizable templates created by world-class designers that are optimized for mobile, which is basically the only way anybody's looking at the internet anymore anyway. Built-in SEO, they got it. 24/7 award-winning customer support, you know it. And it's just the best way to build a website if you want to get one up and running quickly. It's really easy. They got great customer support. And it's well worth checking out. So head on over to squarespace.com/mybrother for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code MYBROTHER to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. Once again, squarespace.com/mybrother for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code MYBROTHER to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain.
Glasses. Love them or hate them, they're here to stay. I want to talk about Warby Parker. Warby Parker is sponsoring us this time. They have glasses that look really good. They look really stylish. When you put them on, sometimes they help you see better if you get a good prescription in there. And they have those. They do have prescription lenses. Their glasses start at just $95, and those are going to have the good lenses inside of them. You can also get anti-glare, anti-scratch coatings. They got blue light filtering lenses, which is important because blue light is, it stinks. And every time you buy a pair, Warby Parker distributes a pair of glasses to someone in need also. And if you don't know what kind of glasses you like, you take a quiz. And don't worry, because it's not like a school quiz. You can't fail this one. Unless you put in a lot of the wrong answers on purpose and you get glasses that aren't right for you. So don't do that. Just answer a few questions. You can fail this. Okay, actually, this is a toughie. If you don't answer correctly, it's not like one of those BuzzFeed, which Harry Potter are you? This is really do your best. Just answer a few quick questions. They'll suggest some great looking glasses that are personalized to fit your face and your style. I've had some Warby Parker glasses in the past, and glasses shopping in a store is a fucking living nightmare because it's a very important fashion decision and people are going to look at you do it. And that's not great. Warby Parker, you get them, you try them on. And you get five pairs of glasses, you try them on for 5 days, there's no obligation to buy them, you can just ship them right back if you don't like them, or keep the ones you like, it's awesome. So head to warbyparker.com/mybrother, order your free home try-on kit. Again, get five pairs of glasses, try them on for 5 days, there's no obligation to buy, they ship free and include a prepaid return shipping label, and take the quiz to find out the pair that is perfect for you today.
Listen, I'm a hotshot Hollywood movie producer. You have until I finish my glass of kombucha to pitch me your idea. Go.
All right, it's called Who Shot Ya? A movie podcast that isn't just a bunch of straight white dudes. I'm Iffy Whiteyway, the new host of the show and a certified BBN.
BBN?
Buff black nerd.
I'm Alonzo Duraldi, an elderly gay and legit film critic who wrote a book on Christmas movies.
I'm Drea Clark, a loud white lady from Minnesota.
Each week, we talk about a new movie in theaters and all the important issues going on in the film industry.
It's like Guess Who's Coming to Dinner meets Cruising.
And if it helps seal the deal, I can flex my muscles while we record each episode.
I'm sorry, this is a podcast? I'm a movie producer. How did you get in here?
Iffy, quick, start flexing.
Bicep, lats, chest. Who Shot Ya? Dropping every Friday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you listen to podcasts.
I recently moved to a new apartment. The other day, when I checked my mailbox, I was met with an accordion of coupons for the fancy grocery store in town that I normally don't shop at. Coupons were addressed to a person who I presume to have been a previous tenant. With a closer look, I found these are special coupons that contain outstanding deals and are awarded to shoppers who spend a lot of money at the store. I try to live an honest life, but brothers, I want to use these coupons. Is it wrong for me to reap the locally grown fruits that have been sown by the stranger, or is this a victimless crime? Should I try to contact this person about their missed savings, or have I stumbled upon a gift from the cosmos? That's from Grocery Gifts in Seattle.
It's not a gift from the cosmos. It is.
It's definitely not that. It is stealing.
It's stealing. It's a victimful crime. But here's the thing you have to weigh. And it has nothing to do with the great deals, the outstanding deals from these special coupons that you've got that you're really excited about. Don't weigh that as part of the thing at all. The question you need to answer is, do you or do you not want to call the old tenant of your apartment and say, hey, you forgot your coupons. Hey, come on back, though. You forgot your coupons. I moved to North Dakota. No, oh, that's going to be a long way to drive to come get these outstanding coupons.
Hey, I just went through all of your coupons.
These coupons
seem pre-touched.
They seem far more outstanding than your average coupon.
Now
you got to get back here, man.
I will say, though, Griffin, I must disagree in that it is somewhere between a victimful and a victimless crime. It is like victim neutral, I would say, maybe, because exactly. I would say, unless there's a mechanic here that I'm missing, when you use said coupon, I don't think there's any way that this previous tenant is going to be like, oh, man, I was going to use that coupon.
So that you're saying like Travis, you're saying some really wild shit, but I want to figure out exactly what flavor.
Okay.
Are you saying that the victim, I don't know a better word for it, which doesn't bode well, the victim will not get a text message when you artificially use their coupons against the law? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. And I'm also saying if that person still goes to the store, I doubt very much that they're going to be like, hey, was I supposed to get any cool coupons?
Okay. The sort of person, you don't watch TV much, but the sort of person who is going to get a huge accordion of super great coupons is the exact person that will go to the grocery store and say, hey, I was supposed to get a bunch of super good coupons in the mail. 100% guaranteed.
But I get like bullshit coupons all the time that are just trying to sucker me in.
These are outstanding coupons. Deals.
Outstanding value, Travis.
Well.
So just so I'm clear. Uh-huh. For you, victimless crime means the victim will never catch you.
Well,
is that what you're saying?
I'm saying, listen, here's why it's a victimless crime. They don't get their super cool coupons. They call the store and they say, hey, I was supposed to get some super cool coupons, and they never came. And now, they got coupons, you got coupons.
Okay. Zodiac murders? Victimless crime?
Nope. Zodiac never murders.
Crime. Never cracked
very,
that one.
Very, very victimful.
Didn't put that one together.
No, I would say
no victims.
You can't call the store to get a new Zodiac killer victim. So I would say that qualifies as a victimful crime. You rob a bank, you take someone's money, they're insured, they get the money back, victimless.
Oh,
you're
shit.
Assuming a world where this person's been like, I mean, watching the count, like checking the mail every day for the coupons they think they might are supposed to get.
Well, I'm saying if someone sent me a surprise. Like a surprise envelope I was not expecting with a $100 bill in it, right? But before it ever gets to me, someone confiscates it, takes it, steals it. But I didn't even know I was going to get the $100. Did they really steal it from me? I'm in the exact same place I was before, and I didn't even know that there was $100 coming. I'm just saying, it's not the worst, as opposed to walking up to someone who's holding a $100 bill, dreaming of the things they will buy with it and how it's going to change their life, and then you pull it out of their hands and you run away with it. I think that's worse.
The morality of it isn't determined by how sad it makes someone, right? I mean,
I don't know, Justin. Is it?
If there's a trolley heading towards five people on trolley track, but you can flip a switch to make it go just hit one person.
Uh-huh.
I feel like Travis would just, like, not be around that situation. And then it's a victimless crime.
I'd say, get on this trolley, and I'd say, no.
Yeah,
I'm going to take an Uber.
Flip this switch to, hey, I want to do the trolley problem to you. And Travis is like, no.
No.
Kobayashi
Maru, how about you
flip
the switch?
Yeah.
I don't want to flip it. That's a huge decision that I can't possibly make. So I won't be deciding. But feel free to flip it however you like.
I'm just saying, if you take that trolley problem and you say, here's five people, right? And they all suck. And here's one awesome person who does like really cool shit every day. It seems easy to me.
I'm not literally going to discuss
We're literally
the trolley
not going to do the trolley problem.
I'm saying someone should use these coupons.
Someone should use these coupons. If the here is the fucking silver bullet for this question. It is a single sentence that goes like this. Should I try to contact this person about their missed savings? Yes. Like, yeah, that part's yes, right? Like, yes, you should definitely do that.
But how hard should you try then, Justin? Let's
Once.
Put it that way.
One and done.
But what if you don't have the person's contact info? So you contact your landlord or whatever, and you're like, hey, I need their information. And the landlord's like, I'm not giving you their information. Are you done at that point?
Well, you could call the store if they're really that close to the person.
Ooh,
you call
now
them
you've
and
blown
be like,
it. Now
just
you've
call,
blown it.
Call them and be like, Dylan's missing. They'll probably know, you know, a family member or somebody who you can get a hold of.
If you call and you blow the whistle on yourself, like I have these coupons that aren't for me, they're just going to deactivate those coupons. You're going to come in and there's going to be a picture of you on every register. It's like coupon thief. Don't let this fucking coupon thief use these coupons to get 2 cents off of each grape.
I want to salt this stew a little bit. And point out that by opening these coupons, you have already committed a felony.
Well, okay. At what point are coupons opened.
They're open that this person has investigated the outstandingness of the deal.
But it probably wasn't wrapped up in an envelope, is what I'm saying. So unless what?
So you're saying that they just got mailed a loose pile of coupons?
It's an accordion of coupons.
Here's what I'm
an
saying.
An unsealed accordion of yes, loose
coupons. Here's what I'm saying.
It did not travel through the U.S. postal system. This person is such an important customer. It was hand-delivered by a courier from the grocery store, delivering them to important customer by hand, transferred it from a velvet pillow to the mailbox. And there's a coupon for 125% off your entire order. That's how important this customer is. They will make money by shopping at this store.
One organ from any employee.
Yes.
Take your pick.
And just letting you know, Dylan has the best organs.
Dylan's got great succulent.
Everyone agrees Dylan is the Big Johnson of organs.
But by the way, throwing him away is a federal crime.
Oh my God, he's right.
Pretty sure that using the coupons is a big
okay.
one.
So you
if
just
you got- went to federal prison for illegal use of coupons, just a heads up from me, Travis McRae, don't tell anyone what you're in for.
Yeah.
Or if you really feel like you can sell the outstandingness of the deal, you may be able to win them over. No, you don't understand. I'm talking about 70 cents off Velveeta. Ooh. I'm talking about 2-for-1 Lucky Charms, varieties. These were outstanding deals.
When I get out of here, man, I've got a lot of ketchup waiting for me.
In a Walton Aho. Me and Andy Dufresne are going to have all the ketchup. Every week I've been stealing a little bit of the Warden's Velveeta and shipping it to myself.
I've been chipping away at a hole in the prison that I keep behind a giant coupon that I had blown up and hung on my wall.
That day on the roof tarring it up, I'll never forget listening to music and drinking a big bottle of Old El Paso salsa.
That was 10% off.
That was 10% off. It was so delicious.
But 20% sweeter.
I need a 6-pack of beer for my men. Okay, fine, I'll go get it. Well, not so fast. Hold on, let me look at my book real quick. Hold on.
How do you guys feel about Corona?
Do you guys like Corona?
Get with Corona?
Do you guys... Ooh. You guys like LaCroix? You like LaCroix? I know it's not alcoholic, but... Okay, no LaCroix.
Okay, cool.
Okay, it's fine.
I have a Yahoo here. Teresa sent it in. Thanks, Teresa.
My wife?
Don't. No. You've got this, Griffin. Don't.
It's asked by Yahoo Answers user Alexis, who asks, what happens if you don't do your summer work?
Oh.
I'm going into eighth grade, and it's already three-ish weeks until school, and I really don't want to do my summer work. And I don't think I can finish it before school anyway. So I just wanted to know what would happen if anyone else experienced this. It's a great question, and it's also a harrowing sort of look into the past of what my life would have been like if I had internet access all the way up through primary education, because this would have been me. I don't want to read the things they carried. What happens if I don't do that?
It is unfair, by the way. Here I am, Travis McRae, full-grown adult, looking back on summer reading and thinking, that is mean. That is if I had a day off of work and the boss was like, but also you have to work at home. No, it's my day off. It's my summer. Don't make me do homework during summer.
So what happens if I just say, no, I'm going to play Fortnite instead. That's my summer work, is grinding it out and getting some boxes with my buds.
If you do that, you just have to write a really, really cool report on Fortnite. And the teacher's like, listen, I know this wasn't the assignment, but you really blew me away with this Fortnite report you wrote that you titled Report Night. And I feel like you really poured your heart and soul into it, and you're getting an A+. And from now on, all day during class, you can play Fortnite.
You could also, and I've seen this, and it gets big hits on social, is you go read Red Badge of Courage, write a report about it. You don't have to do that. And your report can just be one line on a piece of paper and say, I'm doing a protest against war. nice. in the book. So I'm protesting the war from this book, and also, you hand that in.
Also, I'll write your report for you for $10.
Travis will just fucking do it, man.
Yeah, I'll write it for you. I've read most books that eighth graders
lots
had to
books.
Read.
Yeah.
Not lots of books, but I'm saying most eighth grade level books.
Travis, slice me off a piece of that Brave New World.
Well, they were at this old world, and it sucked. Okay. And then they were like, you know what? Let's go check out, I heard about a new world.
Is that stop, sounds- stop, stop. Is that the, really the opening fucking paragraph of your report, yeah. You dunce?
No, I'm going to start with right, like some again. Kind of hypothesis. Okay, hello. My name is, fill in your name. I'm not going to write my own name.
That's very good.
And I would like to tell you today about a very important work that really, and I'm going to go on and on like that for a long time. And that's going to kill like two paragraphs about the impact it had on me.
Yeah.
Right. Like it really made me think about life and how things could be different, but also the things that stay the same. A lot of that, that's going to kill a lot of it. And then I'm going to give you basically like a two paragraph synopsis that's based off of what I read on Wikipedia.
Sure.
And then I'm going to come back at you with another paragraph about like maybe things that, you know, it's made me see that I could do differently in my life.
Oh, that's
how
good.
How it strengthened my walk with Christ.
Give me that paragraph.
Yeah, reading Brave New World really made me think about how I could strengthen my walk with Christ.
Because of what in the book?
Because I want to be brave in this new world that we call the 21st century.
Anyway, here's a full page picture of Aldous Huxley. And the end.
There you go. That's basically it.
Bridge to Terabithia.
Okay. So there was this girl, right? And I remember when I met some cool kids that made me think about fantasy worlds, a little thing called Fortnite. And Fortnite was like a bridge to a fantasy world for me, where I could be myself and scream obscenities at adults.
A living vacuum cleaner with a rifle for an ass.
really made me think a lot about, I don't know, I think she was sick in the book or something. But anyway,
she beefs it. Like she definitely beefs it.
And she didn't come back, unlike my character in Fortnite.
She beefed it, not unlike the 99 competitors I had in that one very special game of Fortnite that I won this summer.
That finally made my older brother proud of me.
Ironically, one of them did fall off a big bridge. Take it to the bank.
George Orwell's Animal Farm has the courage to ask us, what if animals could play Fortnite? It's a metaphor, but nobody knows what for.
Hello, welcome to my book report for 1980 Fortnite.
Oh, God. Okay, well, we're done. This is a podcast. This is a podcast that you willingly listen to week in, week out.
Number the Stars by Lois Lowry. There's 36 of these dang things. That's what she found in her study of the stars called Number the Stars. For Griffin McElroy. I'm Griffin McElroy.
McElroy News.
The giver, more like the taker, of points from kills in Fortnite. Each word is on a different page that meets the minimum requirements. I will take my A.
Hey, Eric, can I talk to you in my office for a second? Yeah, Teach.
You may.
This is about how I wrote all my papers about Fortnite. I guess. Hey, Eric, can you be honest with me? Have you ever played Fortnite? Yeah. I love Fortnite. I love. Hey, Eric, it's just you and me here, buddy. You can be honest. I read the books.
Yeah, man. you collect all the diamonds and you get to go into you turn into supersonic. I love books.
I love books so much.
I love books so much. I read ones I shouldn't even have read. I read Little Women twice.
This has been our podcast. We're Justin Travis and Griffin McElroy. But we have a lot of podcasts that we do. You can find them all at McElroy.family. And there's lots of other stuff we make, merchandise and tours and all that good stuff. So if you like what you hear here, go check that website out. Bookmark it. Check it out frequently.
Real quick, also at McElroy.family, you can check out our upcoming tours. Now, listen, folks, this isn't me blowing smoke or bragging.
Here he goes.
Most of them dang things is sold out. I believe the Adventure Zone show in Atlanta is now sold out, but I believe there are also limited seats available for the My Brother and Me show in Atlanta on the 31st and the MBMBAM show in Orlando on September 1st. And then we have some tickets left for the September 25th Washington, D.C. Adventure Zone. And then I believe the rest of the dang things are sold out. So get your tickets for those shows I mentioned if you haven't already. Also, speaking of Atlanta, this weekend when you hear this, Dad and I are going to be doing some events at Dragon Con. We're going to post links to that and schedules for that both at travismacroy.com and at macroy.family. But we'll be there Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So come to those if you want to, and I'll see you there.
Thanks to John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song, It's a Departure, off the album Putting the Days to Bed. Great jams, great tunes. Gonna love it. Gonna get it. Go get it. Buy it. And listen. And thanks to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. Go to MaximumFun.org. Check out all the great shows there. Mission to Zix. And freaking Switchblade Sisters. And Jordan Jesse Go. And Stop Podcasting Yourself. And Flophouse. And a bunch more. All at MaximumFun.org.
I just did, last week I did an episode of Tights and Fights where we talked about the new season of GLOW. So if you want to hear me talk about GLOW for like 45 minutes, go check it out.
How about that final Yahoo?
Yes.
Yes. Every week on My Bim Bam, we have a final Yahoo that we talk about. Then we come back and we, you know, solve
goof on it. Several people sent this in. It's an anonymous Yahoo. Nope. Their name is Graham. Graham asks, who invented paper? It's great.
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been My Brother and Me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Hi, I'm Dave Hill from Show Business. And while I'm not from Canada, my grandfather Clarence Vincent Blake Sr. was, and he wouldn't shut up about it. My grandfather moved on to that great penalty box in the sky way back in the 80s. Still, all these years later, I can't help but wonder, what do we really know about Canada and its people? Which is why my friend Chris Gersbeck and I decided to make So, You're Canadian. Brand new podcast from the Maximum Fun Network, on which I attempt to get to know our neighbors to the north, one Canadian at a time. Coming to Maximum Fun, August 27th. And I'm not sorry.